Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two. It's a Monday. It's great to have you in live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. You know what I thought was remarkable? Kevin Durant got hurt over the last couple days. He'll be out for like 2 months.
Yeah.
It is remarkable. Draymond Green's out. Kevin Durant's out. Anthony Davis is out. Kawhi Leonard's out. Paul George is out. It is amazing that in football, almost all of our stars are healthy. And in basketball, we're not even to the trading deadline. How many stars are hobbled in the NBA? I don't have any answer for it. But when I watch the playoffs, even with like Tampa, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette's out, they'll return. They were like game time decisions. The NFL's done a pretty good job. You know, you got your Michael Gallups occasionally. But the NFL's done a pretty good job in their safety measures. This is the second year in a row that it's like most of your stars are ready to play. Like, and by the way, TJ Watt missed games, but he was great yesterday at times. It's the NBA, which is very star-driven, has a huge number of its stars just not available. In the NFL, quarterbacks are all upright and ready to go.
Sometimes you have years like that. I want to say it was like 4 years ago where – everyone in the NFL was hurt. Like, it was all the stars were out.
Yeah.
And it was just, there was no explanation for it. But this year, there's been a lot of people who have hurt and people have missed games due to COVID, but it's felt like only a couple games. Like, Russ was out for a couple games.
Right.
Kyler Murray's out for a couple games. TJ Watt's out for a couple games. Aaron missed a game. But by and large, we have all the stars for the playoffs, which is great.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, everybody complains. There was a hit against Tom Brady on like the first series, and
yeah.
it was pretty iffy if it was a penalty. But that's why you're doing it, is you don't want backups playing this weekend. This is why. You can complain about it all you want. All the starting quarterbacks were out there. Stafford, Kyler Murray are ready to go tonight.
Yep.
Folks, that game would not feel the same. I couldn't even tell you. Colt McCoy against whoever the backup is for the Rams, it's not the same night. So say what you want. I'll defend the NFL on this. Don't bang into the quarterbacks. Don't drive them into the ground. I'll defend that one almost always. All right, Colin right, Colin wrong. And a Monday, here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we said all year we thought the Cowboys were pretty good. And they are. They're pretty good. But they lose to the better teams they play. In the end, Dak's good. But good quarterbacks need great coaching to take them to the next level. That's what McVay did with Goff. Dak needs more help than what I believe is a B-minus, C-plus head coach. The Dallas Cowboys, maybe we'll find out that Dak was hurt, but he did not play particularly well the last 6 to 7 weeks of the year, and this team could not beat the better teams on their schedule. I mean, they were blown out at home by Denver. They lost to the Raiders, and you start looking at their big wins. It was the Chargers was one of their better wins. Well, Chargers didn't make the playoffs, and I don't think Dak had a touchdown pass that week. So this team just has a ceiling. They've got a lot of playmakers, but they're just not special enough to me at quarterback and head coach.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought we were going to have really close games. I took some underdogs. 3 of the 5 were blowouts, and they were blowouts, and they were over 5 minutes into the game, it felt like. I've never seen Belichick be humiliated like that. I could understand Brady winning big. Things happened. The weather was going to be quirky. To watch Bill Belichick in the last 2 games against Josh Allen, literally he gets a touchdown every drive. No punts. 6 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, that thing... not competitive. And I really didn't think Mac Jones was awful. I just thought you can't ask a rookie quarterback to go on the road and have a touchdown every drive. That's not realistic. So I thought the games were going to be much closer.
Where Colin was right.
Been on the Josh Allen bandwagon now here for a couple years. I think he's more talented than Mahomes. Doesn't mean he's always better. He's the Mike Tyson of quarterbacks. His knockout punch is the best in the sport. He's flawed. He makes too many mistakes. He's got a lower completion percentage. But there's nothing out there in the league right now. This is John Elway. I mean, there were other great quarterbacks. Montana was great, but nothing looked like Elway in his prime. Nobody looks like him. As good as Russell Wilson and Kyler are running around, they got to slide. He just runs over guys. I mean, I'm not sure he's not faster. He may be not more elusive, but he made Belichick's defense in the last two starts that was in the right spot often look anemic.
Where Colin was wrong.
I defend Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he's not great, but I've always said good. But he had a play right here when he did not let Trent Williams set. That is remedial high school stuff. It was the right play called. What are you doing? You're a quarterback. Look around. I mean, that is what drives Kyle Shanahan nuts. Game's over. Cowboys never get it back. Say what you want about the officials. That is why you got to eventually move off Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't. That if a rookie does that, you almost get it. I wouldn't, but I almost get it. For him to make that mistake there, nonsensical.
Where Colin was right.
I said Joe Burrow would be Tony Romo out of college, and I love Romo. By about the third game, I said, all right, he's way better than that. Folks, he made throws this weekend. Joe Burrow is so effortlessly cool. And stop telling me the whistle blew here. If it did, it was on the ball. It didn't matter. The Bengals had the touchdown. They had the Raiders beat on that play. Give me a break on the whistle. Yes, Ja'Marr Chase is great. Yes, their offensive coach is clever. But you know you're cool when you are without trying to be like the other Ohio quarterback. This kid is absolutely special. He's got a super bright young coach, Zach Taylor. And I don't know if they can beat the Titans. That is a huge ask for what I believe is the weakest roster left in the playoffs. But we've been on the Burrow bandwagon for a long time, and this is what you get.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was also a big supporter of Jalen Hurts, but good hell, what was that? 31-0, missed layups. Troy Aikman was begging for them to throw to wide receivers, which they almost didn't for the entire first half. Listen, you probably go back into next season with him, but if I have three first-round picks and I'm Howie Roseman and he's a deal maker as a GM, he and Les Snead, they're looking for deals, I got to at least kick the tires on Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr. You don't get three first-round picks very often. They're not top 10 picks. You just don't. When you do, you start looking around at these playoffs. Man, there's a big separation between Mac and Jalen and a lot of these other quarterbacks. And I didn't think Jalen could play that badly.
Where Colin was right.
Well, the quarterback face bracket was a shocking 4-1. We do a face bracket where we only pick games based on who the better quarterback is. Josh Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, and Brady. I probably should not have picked Jimmy Garoppolo. That face, that's a Super Bowl face. But I do think Dak's better. A little bit. Not a gigantic canyon or chasm, but 4-1 face bracket.
Where Colin was wrong.
What do you know? We've got 8 NFL coaching openings. I said all year it looks like 3. Even 2 weeks ago I said, okay, I'll give you 4. Nope. Owners get weird. I'm sorry, but David Culley won 4 games in a complete and utter tank/rebuild. They're not going to give him another run. I mean, Davis Mills actually got better as the season progressed. Brian Flores won 8 of 9. Like, I get Joe Judge. I get Vic Fangio, but the Urban Meyer thing, even Urban, by the way, surprised me. I thought they'd give him the year. This is the NFL. And by and large, all of them dismissed for different reasons. So I've said it earlier. Mike Zimmer would be hard for me to fire. I really think he's a top 12 coach in the NFL, but you know, his voice got tired trending the wrong way. So tonight, what is interesting, the Rams are at home tonight. So I picked 4 winners this weekend. I was 4-0 on outcomes, 2-2 on bets. I like the Rams tonight. And I've said before, all this stuff is window dressing. The real pressure's on Matt Stafford. So Jared Goff would be favored to win this game tonight. This really sets up for Matt Stafford. He's got the better coach. A coach who has dominated the coach he'll face tonight, the better defense. He's at home. He's got healthier weapons. And he catches a break. Arizona's defense is playing its worst football of the year in the last month and a half. So you could lose next week to Tom Brady in Tampa. Not going to be too harsh. You could lose to Aaron Rodgers. I don't have a problem losing to Mahomes, a Josh Allen, an Aaron Rodgers, a Brady when you're the road quarterback. Got to win tonight. L.A. Rams, outside of Robert Woods, and he's been gone now for a couple months. It's the healthiest they've been. They got Cam Akers back. That was a total gift. Kyler Murray struggled. That's been a gift. Like, everything tonight. I like the Rams tonight. Everything lines up for the Rams tonight. So, this is going to be, we said it going into the weekend. Our prediction over the weekend was the two people that would really get heat if they lost was Matt Stafford and Mike McCarthy. Like, we could all blame Dak, and Dak did not play well. But to me this morning, it's on McCarthy more than Dak. And Dak did not play well, but it's on McCarthy. He will be leapfrogged by Matt Stafford if he doesn't win tonight. I feel you got the better defense, the better coach. You're at home and the healthier weapons. In the NFL in 2022, you got to win the game. This game, you got to be. The line to me should be greater than 3 to 3.5. Like, I think the Rams should be a strong favorite tonight. That's coming up. Interesting story. Really interesting story has developed in Seattle. Did you notice the timing of certain tweets and announcements? Russell Wilson's not happy. We'll talk about that coming up.
Mic check. If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. Let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever get your podcast from.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Thursday night on FS1, it's a huge night of college hoops featuring some of the top teams in the country. Purdue takes on Indiana at 7 Eastern. Then at 11, UCLA battles Utah. It all tips off Thursday on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Purdue and UCLA are pretty good. Pretty good basketball teams. All right, let's get to Mike Silver, NFL reporter, friend of mine. He has been, he's on my podcast all the time. He is one of the really sharp guys, information guys in this league. There's a lot of stuff going on, folks. Owners get weird. Owners get cranky this time of the year. So let's just start with this. You know, I'm reading all the stuff this morning, and Jerry's, I'm fine. What was just your reaction on that quarterback draw, the penalties, the circus on the sidelines, on the fake punt? This morning on the Cowboys, how did it land for you?
Yeah, I just, watching it in real time, Colin, I just couldn't believe they were doing that, because what you gain, arguably a little bit better chance at an end zone shot, but only one. You know, the risk is so high. It has to be executed absolutely perfectly. You are putting in variables like the umpire getting the ball, all your players getting back, staying, you know, set. And I just, it seemed insane to me. Yeah, the middle was open because the 49ers dared it to be open smartly. Even throwing to the sideline there, I don't like it. I would prefer two or three shots to the end zone, personally. I think it's still such a low percentage play from the 26 or whatever, as opposed to the 40. So I wanted to know who called it and who greenlit it and what the heck was going on. And so I got some answers. Kellen Moore made that call. Mike McCarthy was on the headset and greenlit it. So it obviously falls on him. Dak theoretically could have checked off. That would have been going completely rogue. And I don't know that there was a natural play to get to. But, you know, I think that was a systemic failure that apparently they practiced in that situation. And I'm not smart enough to understand how that could possibly be a smart strategy.
Okay, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, you watch Mac Jones and you think, and you watch Jalen Hurts, and I know they're young, but there's part of you that thinks, boy, that's not good enough going forward. So your thought, but the name, it's interesting. Derek Carr of the Raiders, he doesn't know who his coach is. This has been chaos since he's been there. This will be his, what, sixth head coach. What are you hearing about interest Derek Carr going forward in that job?
Well, Derek Carr put a marker down. He wants Rich Bisaccia to be the head coach on a permanent basis. And I am always, very circumspect when it comes to what I call the interim trap. Usually teams get a bounce from an interim, and then maybe you hire him without really doing a real search. But in this case, the Raiders went through some extraordinary things and steeled themselves and, got to the brink of a playoff victory. This is, Derek Carr and his teammates, who also, I'm told, feel this way, a lot of them, they're uniquely positioned to understand what their challenges have been and how Rich Bisaccia, unified that team. So you look at a guy like Carr, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He didn't sign another extension.
Yeah.
He knows the rumblings that perhaps as high as ownership, they've been flirting with the idea of getting rid of him. Mark Davis seems to be starry-eyed. He wanted a star coach. He wants a star quarterback, maybe beyond what Derek Carr is. And if he goes and hires someone who is not Rich Bisaccia and Derek Carr doesn't feel listened to, remember, that's how Aaron Rodgers felt. That's how Russell Wilson said he felt. Fasten your seatbelts. And he would have a lot of interest. I know a lot of people marginalize him quietly. He had a monster season, probably better than the season a few years ago, 2016, I think, when he was being mentioned as an MVP candidate.
Yep.
A lot of late victories and a lot of clutch play.
Oh, I would. There are seven teams in this league I'd call tomorrow on Derek Carr, including Philadelphia with 3 first-round picks. Okay, so this is fascinating. We think of the Colts as a no-chaos, disappointing ending. But that's not what you're hearing right now in Indianapolis.
Well, I know people tend to regard Jim Irsay as a caricature and he's into rock and roll and, blah, blah, blah. This is a fiercely, fiercely competitive man who has been around football his entire life. And he makes bold statements sometimes and people laugh him off. We're going to win multiple Super Bowls. We're going to do this. He really believes that they have a team that can ascend to those lofty levels. And I think he has a right to be as furious as he is about the way the season ended. You've got a team that was playing to get into the playoffs against the worst team in the league that had every reason to quit. In fact, every reason to lose to secure that number one draft pick. And they looked flat. And, I've been a big Frank Reich fan, but I can understand why Irsay is upset.
Yeah.
Go back to the game against Tampa when red-hot Jonathan Taylor didn't touch the ball for 26 consecutive plays, all of which were passes. If you say that Phillip Rivers was a Frank Reich connection, Carson Wentz was a Frank Reich connection, I believe it's an understatement to say that Frank Reich is on the hot seat for 2022, and had he not signed a 5-year extension this past training camp, it might have been even worse.
Okay, so very interesting. This to me was very interesting. So on January 6th, which by the way is my birthday, Mike, I didn't get a present. Anyway, Russell Wilson said this. Here's Russell Wilson. Play the tape right here.
We've always thought I'd always be here, and that's been always my goal is to win, I have said to you guys, win multiple Super Bowls, and my plans to be here and to do that, you take every day and you just enjoy the moment.
Okay. January 15th, this weekend, you had a tweet, and your tweet said, hey, it looks like there's a sense among coaches and others in the Seahawks building, Pete's coming back and John Snyder's coming back. The next morning, Russell Wilson comes out and stories are leaked that he'd like to explore his options. Seems pretty obvious he's not a fan of Pete. Is that what I'm getting?
I mean, here we go again. To me, he was very clearly trying to get out last offseason to the point where his agent publicly said, hey, we're not seeking a trade, but any of these four teams will go to if you want to trade us. So I think the noise has started anew. And I think it's fair to conclude that whether it's Pete or, quote, status quo, he feels like he might want to change. Now, Russell likes to split the difference and come out and say, go Hawks, I want to be here, and he compartmentalizes. But obviously, there are people close to him, probably in this case, someone who represents him, who are trying to push the envelope the other way. So if Russell comes out publicly, like Aaron Rodgers essentially did when he came back in July and says, you know, I don't like it here, I want to leave, I think it's a tougher situation for the Seahawks to keep him, but not impossible. They do control him potentially for four seasons contractually. He's got two left on his deal. They could franchise him twice. And you can't just go find another Russell Wilson. But, you know, Mark Davis wants a star. He might not hire Rich Bisaccia. Russell wants to explore options. Vegas was high on his list last year that his agent released. Maybe there's a match to be made there. I don't know.
By the way, I want to circle back to the Cowboys. You know, Jerry Jones, there's things about – there's a great conflict. They tend to draft well. They tend to give Chan Gailey an extra year, Barry Switzer an extra year, Jason Garrett an extra year. They're not impulsive at all. But you watch McCarthy, and this thing looked like a mess for the better parts of 2 years. I mean, last year, the defense appeared to just quit until Jerry stepped in and said, get a new defensive coordinator. Is there any chance, and I've never thought of Jerry as impulsive. I find him more strategic than impulsive. There's some vanity there, but he's not a wake up, like a lot of these owners, and I've changed my mind. Any chance that Quinn would be the head coach and McCarthy in an advisory role? Or do you think they're just running these guys back?
You know, I think there's always a chance when you've got an owner who's maniacally competitive and 79 years old and feels like his team was good enough to win. I agree with you that he's not been impulsive. I think the most damning thing you could say about McCarthy is that with, timeout, of football to plot his return, he rolled back in with a defensive coordinator who changed a scheme when there was no offseason for the players. And that was a very ill-advised move by Mike Nolan. So that's on McCarthy. Obviously, it went much, much better with Quinn. But, the people who believe, well, Kellen Moore is clearly the guy, we'll just get rid of McCarthy. You know, yesterday was not Kellen Moore's finest hour either. So, I don't know. I think we need to keep an eye on it. And, you know, with Jerry, it will never be subtle. Probably not likely that he would do that. And you could give some reasons why it would not be a great move. But Jerry's not sitting here trying to build for the next decade. He wants it now. And I understand that.
Okay. I said something earlier. I'll be called crazy town. But Belichick wanted to move Brady, and he's moved multiple Pro Bowlers. He's 70. Do you think they would make a call? Because Mac Jones now is free for 3 years. There's value. He's established himself as a franchise quarterback. He cannot stop Josh Allen. It took a nor'easter. Do you think Belichick would take calls on a Derek Carr and think to himself, hey, I want to win now. This defense is built to win now. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, the defense is not built to win now because it's not just Josh Allen. They didn't even get to fourth down, right? I mean, they just got rolled. And they did not finish well, by the way. This wasn't just a rough matchup. They, other than blowing out the Jags, they did not have a good end of their season. But, yeah, I think, if you're Belichick and, very importantly, Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, you should be trying to figure out if this team – as constructed, can compete immediately. And obviously, when you have a coach who's that great, you feel like you can. But, I think every team, there are very few teams that wouldn't at least listen to a conversation if Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers are the subjects, right? I mean, Cincinnati probably wouldn't listen. Buffalo, Kansas City,
right,
and the Chargers. But pretty much, I think, everybody else might, you know, maybe even Tampa, depending on what Brady decides to do. So, yeah, I think if you're Belichick, you don't rule anything out.
Yeah. All right, Mike Silver, great job. Great seeing you again. Love your stuff. Always well-sourced. Good seeing you, my man.
Appreciate you, Colin, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Even though I think I did text you, I think.
You did. It was very meaningful. It meant a lot to me. Thank you, Mike. I do appreciate that. Boy, he's got good stuff. Derek Carr thing's fascinating. Like, very fascinating. If he didn't get his guy, I was told this weekend, didn't get it double sourced. I'll just throw this information out there, that Harbaugh leaning towards staying at Michigan. Now, that's what I was told this weekend, that he kind of feels like he's not hearing from who he thought he would hear from. So the Raiders was something interesting, I was told. So this morning, I'm told, or this weekend, I was told Harbaugh was a lean towards staying at Michigan. That's what I was told. He's hired a couple of coaches. Just telling you what I was told. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, let's discuss that. No one has officially interviewed Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, I didn't even know that was your first
story. For an NFL vacancy. Yeah, that's what we call a transition setup. Well done, Colin.
Thank you.
It's been reported that he had his eyes on the NFL, but another source with knowledge said that Harbaugh is waiting and watching to see whether a team with reasonable ownership and a GM situation is interested in giving him an opportunity. That's kind of a lofty goal. I mean, not to say that all the owners in the NFL are wildly unreasonable, but they're also, they own the team. Like, well, if they decide that they want to do something, that's what they're going to do.
There are more impulsive owners in the NFL than reasonable ones. I believe that. I think at least 55-60% of owners are unrealistic and will act impulsively. I believe that.
I mean, the good teams don't go through coaches.
Well, the other thing, and this is, I don't know anybody like this. I mean, I've met Stan Kroenke, but the owners now are no longer worth $800 million. They're worth $13
billion. Right.
When you're worth $13 billion, writing a $40 million check is a rounding error. So when you were a car dealer, you owned an NBA team, and you were worth $600 million, you didn't want to write a $40 million check to buy out a coach. We've gotten to a point in America, the wealth is so great with the wealthy that they're just like Stephen Ross and his real estate. He's like, I'm out. All right.
I'll just pay these coaches not to coach pay someone else.
You're even seeing it in college where LSU will say, okay, I'll pay Ed Orgeron $30 million and Brian Kelly $100 million. The college donors are like, just write the check, whatever it takes.
Yeah, so, David Culley's walking with what, $22 million?
And it's not even a blink. And so this wealth created in America, the richest 0.0001% are so rich now, $40 million means nothing anymore.
I just don't... I guess it just depends on what Harbaugh wants, right? Like, he wants to get back to Super Bowl and win it. Then you're going to need to go to the best scenario available. Well, what is the best scenario of the available coaching positions? Now, at any moment, we could find out that there's another coaching position open in Dallas. I don't know if that's going to happen at all, but that was not a good ending yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, that's interesting. If the Cowboys job opened up, Harbaugh to Dallas would be incredible.
Oh, that you take that job. Absolutely.
But if your goal is to go to win a Super Bowl,
you have a very good roster.
You've got to go to a good job. And of the job openings, the only one that is a good job is the Vikings. And do you really think that you can make Kirk Cousins into a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Well, and by the way, I don't think it's a good job because Kirk's a $40 million cap hit this year, and then you don't have a quarterback. So in 1 year, you have no idea who the quarterback is. I can have my misgivings with Dak, but that roster is built to win a lot of games.
Plus, you feel like with the right coach,
Dak
you can still
would be better.
Elevate Dak. We know what Kirk Cousins is at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you could see Dak having potentially another gear to get to.
By the way, he didn't have a terrible year. He didn't have a great ending, and he didn't have a great game. Dak got him over 50 once, 43 times, 33 times. Dak's not why they're losing. He isn't able to elevate them when they can't run the ball. Like, you wish you get more.
Yeah, that's the issue really with Dallas. We can talk about everything else that fell apart. Right. If they don't run the ball, they don't win. It's just as simple as that. Like, if they run more than 100 yards, they win.
Yep.
So that's the issue there. They have to figure that out. It could just be that Harbaugh is trying to get more money at Michigan.
Could be.
Which, look, he deserves. And this is what happens when you have leverage. You can pin things and show that there's interest in you. But if that job opened up, Harbaugh to the Cowboys would be really interesting. So Cowboys fans were very angry, understandably so, at the end of yesterday's loss. So much so, though, not understandably, that they started throwing trash. They're getting different reports about this, that it was being thrown at the refs and not at the players, but some of the trash was directed at the players.
Yeah, no,
so whether they meant to hit the referees or not, they hit some players. And Dak Prescott was asked about what he thought about that at the end of the game.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Credit to them then.
That's not taking.
Yeah.
They weren't doing it.
Oh, credit. Credit to them. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if they weren't at us and the fans felt the same way as us and that's what they're doing it for, then, yeah, I guess that's why the fans, I mean, guess that's why the refs took off and got out of there so fast. Yeah, I think everybody's upset with the way that this thing played out. And as I said, as I'm sure a fan would be the same and feels the same way that we do.
It's not the first time I've not agreed with Dak at the mic.
You don't want to be an international soccer game where the referees are running for their life. Like, we don't want
no.
that.
That's... I mean, look, this is a scene, and I'm very, very adamant about fans not getting involved in games like this. I think it's despicable. Like, it's my son or daughter. Ridiculous behavior.
Threw stuff on the field.
Yeah.
Be like, it's the last game I'm ever taking it to.
Yeah.
Period.
It's not even a conversation.
There is no reason to do that. I would be like, you guys are done. Dad's done giving you cool stuff.
You don't know how to behave in public.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable behavior. Like, whether it's at the referees, who, by the way, are not the reason why you lost that game. You lost that game because you had 14, 15 penalties. You were behind the entire game. The only reason you were actually in that game, you should be thanking Jimmy Garoppolo. Everyone in Dallas should be sending Jimmy Garoppolo Starbucks gift cards, because the only reason that you can even have a conversation about being in that
because
game is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Because of a terrible pick,
yeah.
And then he wouldn't let Trent Williams get set. Like, that's the only reason the game's...
Like, it's audacity to put it on the ref not getting the ball set at the end of the game. That's audacity. By everyone in the organization.
It wasn't even...
did not lose because the ref didn't get there and set the ball in time.
Yeah.
It was a terrible, ridiculous play call. You had no timeouts left. You were trailing the entire game at home to a team that you were favored over. You have the overall... You look like you have overall the better roster. You won your division. San Francisco had to scrape their way in. And they beat you the entire game.
Yeah.
You played a terrible, sloppy game. I think it's tied for the most amount of penalties in a postseason game.
Yeah.
That is not the referee's fault. That being the situation shows how there might be a little bit of dysfunction there. There's no way that you should even be talking about how the referee didn't get that done. It wasn't on them. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So the Rams play the Cardinals tonight to end Super Wild Card Weekend, which there's some blowouts, but overall it's been a fun.
I don't think this
weekend.
This doesn't feel like a blowout to me. It feels competitive. It feels like a touchdown game. Rams.
No, I'm saying there was some blowouts this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
No, tonight this feels like it could be a shootout. But I said going into the weekend, I think that the most pressure this postseason is on Matthew Stafford,
yes.
The Cowboys as a whole, and now we're seeing why that's the case. I do think the Packers have a lot of pressure on them. Aaron Rodgers had an extremely noisy season.
Yeah.
If the Niners go in there and beat them, that's going to be something.
Now, if Bosa and Fred Warner are healthy, the Niners have a shot. They have an app.
Yeah, they need them.
Not sure they will. I like Green Bay, but they cannot go in missing any starters.
But San Francisco isn't scared of Green Bay.
Oh, no, they outplayed him before.
Yeah, so that's an interesting game to me. But this game tonight, Matthew Stafford, you cannot, similar to how the Cowboys lost yesterday, you cannot lose in the first round if you're Matthew Stafford in the Rams. Like,
Jared Goff would win this game tonight. Jared Goff won the games that we thought he would win. He really did. He won a lot of home games. He out-dueled Mahomes on Monday Night Football, Kirk Cousins on Thursday Night Football. When he had the better defense, the better coach, Goff mostly won his games. He didn't get him to where he's not going to beat Aaron at Lambeau. But Jared Goff would be favored tonight in this game.
And I mean, and they are favored, but they're favored by 3.5 points tonight. But you have to beat the Cardinals. So we're a good road team. This is not a bad Cardinals team. They've been a little inconsistent since Kyler Murray's injury, but you've tied with Trevor Lawrence, who is a rookie in a terrible situation with the number of interceptions this year. He's going to have to play a good game tonight. Like, this is going to be a massive situation.
And the Rams are healthy. And Arizona's not. So you got, like, timing? You even got that tonight.
I think the Rams win tonight, but it's going to be a rough offseason for the Rams if Matthew Stafford does not perform well.
Between Burrow's greatness, what if OBJ goes off and has two touchdowns tonight? Going to be a bad offseason for you-know-who in Cleveland.
Well, I think we're already there with them.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
Tori Holt last hour. It's the Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, be remiss if we did not acknowledge not only the fine work of Joy Taylor, but it is her birthday today. It is January 17th, a special day because it's my wife's birthday and Joy's birthday in the same day. So let's bring
look at Mario and Jimmy. Hi, guys.
So look at that. Your favorite people.
Thank you.
Cupcakes. Let's bring out the cupcakes for Joy Taylor.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Of course. Look at this, Joy Taylor. Oh, we celebrate birthdays on this show. Open them up,
the
Joy.
Best cupcakes. Sprinkles. Oh. You're in L.A., you know these. Thank you, guys.
Is that sprinkles?
Yes.
In Los Angeles?
Oh, so good. We'll be sharing these. thank you, guys. Yeah. And happy birthday to Ann.
Happy birthday.
And Dwayne Wade.
Yep. She's got the son's coming over tonight. Little pizza. We're going to watch some football.
Oh, nice.
Football tonight. And
it's a big day. Muhammad Ali, Betty White, Michelle Obama. Birthday.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Capricorns are strong, defiant people.
Fabulous. Thank you, guys.
You bet. It is interesting. So, you know, one of the things that I love about football is that it not only does it change all the time, but it usually changes for the better. And, you know, like, I don't think analytics has been good for baseball. You know, there's no base runners anymore. Like, I grew up with Joe Morgan and Lou Brock and Ricky Henderson, the cat and mouse on the bases. That was fun. You don't have base runners anymore. Home runs, strikeouts, nobody cares, just no ground balls. So, and the slowing of the pitching changes, going to the bullpen in the fifth and sixth inning. So I don't think analytics has helped baseball. I don't think analytics has helped basketball. I miss a skyhook. I miss centers. I like playoff basketball because you know what happens in playoff basketball? Guys shoot mid-range jumpers. Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, the mid-range jumper comes right back. Kevin Durant's going to shoot some of those. In the regular season, analytics is shoot threes, 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 threes. But when you get to the playoffs, Milwaukee Bucks, they're going down low and feeding the big guy. I think that's better basketball for my eyes. Analytics is actually good for football because it creates drama and more fourth down attempts. So in a weird way, the NFL, when you're a well-run business, even the stuff that hurts other businesses, that's the same, helps you. And like a lot of things that may hurt other businesses, help tech. I'll give you an example. The pandemic was terrible for business. It was great for tech because we stayed home on our Zoom and watched Netflix and ordered off Amazon. So like tech companies and retailers with a significant online imprint did great during the pandemic. That's when you have a good business. As I'm watching all these analytic things happen over the weekend and you know, Mike McCarthy saying that quarterback draw, the analytics said to go for it. Whether I agree or not, analytics are making for gutsier football, less punting, fewer field goals. And I got to tell you, even though it drives me nuts, it's better football. I've never once bought a ticket for a punter. I don't want to see my kicker anywhere near a field. The two least athletic people on the field are maybe that and the long snapper, a guard occasionally. They're not playing as much. So it is funny when I watch all these analytics, they may drive me nuts. But a prime example is yesterday. So the Niners, Kyle Shanahan's young and smart. He was a field goal guy yesterday. He just kept kicking field goals. Even in I would have gone for it at midfield later in the game because Bosa and Fred Warner were out. And I'm like, just go for it. He didn't. And it drives the analytic people nuts. But here was my takeaway on how Kyle Shanahan was thinking. Kyle Shanahan's thinking, okay, I'm on the road. Garoppolo probably isn't 100% still in his hand. I don't necessarily always trust him. And in this game, I don't think Dallas can run the ball. They didn't. They only had 16 carries. They're not running the ball. They can't. And Dak's not going to beat his throwing. So I'm just going to take points when I can get them. And this is where I disagree with analytics and agree with Kyle Shanahan. If I feel like they can't do what they need to do to beat me, run the ball, they can't do that against us. Anytime I get points, I'm just going to play the threes over and over. I'm not going to take high risk with a quarterback off an injury who 2 weeks ago you didn't know if he could start a game. So I'm not going to play that game. I trust my running game, my field goal position. The Niners have a great kicker, Gould. So in that spot, the analytic mavens hate it. But I kept going through and I thought, Shanahan's smart. He gets analytics. But is he thinking, quarterback's not 100%. Dallas can't do what I believe they have to do to beat us. So in this instance, just take the field goals. We're just going to keep kicking field goals, separate, because I don't think Kyle Shanahan thought, once they couldn't run the ball, and that was established very early, I thought his takeaway was, they're the only way we're going to lose this game is Garoppolo makes a terrible pick, which he did, or I just don't take the points given to me. I don't need to go for it. I guess the feeling was Shanahan believed in that game very early. I've got the better team today. I don't need to go high risk. I'm just going to take points. I don't need to go for it because I don't think they can. But you go for it four times, don't get any of them, and that's potentially 9 or 12 points, then you're beating yourself. So that's the rub for me on analytics is if I feel I have the better team, but I'm not sure I have the better quarterback. I'm going to throw that stuff out. I'm just going to take points. I don't care what I hear this all the time. Well, you play 1,000 hands of poker, and in 1,000 hands of poker, you always hit that. Nobody gets fired for losing a hand of poker. Shanahan does not have a winning record in the NFL, I don't believe now. He certainly doesn't without Garoppolo. So just winning that game and taking the points, Kyle Shanahan could get blown out next weekend. His job is in no jeopardy. His job is in no jeopardy. He won that game, field goals, punting, and I believe a lot of that was, I think I have a low ceiling here, maybe the second best quarterback, but I got the better team, and I'm just going to take points. And he did, and he won. And those points are the difference in the game. Hour 3, around the corner on a Monday, live in L.A., it's the Herd.